Blog Talk Radio.
She's raising the bar. Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday, 1 o'clock.
It's been a while.
Every Wednesday, 1 o'clock. And thank you for joining us. And that's the theme today. You know, Elite, I was thinking, you know, when the
I'm always afraid when you say, you know, Elite.
Never be afraid, my dear. Never be afraid of me. I was thinking, okay, I'm trying to think of a theme for Labor Day weekend. What happens as we approach Labor Day weekend? And everybody out there who's listening, I hope you had a great summer because it's over. We still have some wonderful warm weather coming in October. But summer is officially, I don't know, summer is officially over.
It went so freaking fast.
And you and I always say, after
July 4th, say goodbye.
And when we were kids, it was never that. I remember August was always the longest month.
Yep.
So it's just weird how it happens.
And
but
I always feel August is the shortest month.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. As a kid,
because after July 4th, boom, it's over. It's September.
You know something? When you're a kid and you're out of school, I mean, I usually work during the summer, but you always, it always seemed like it was, you did everything you had to do in July, and then it's like, okay, August.
Right. That's
and
why
then,
it was so long.
But then you
got
the knot in your stomach, you didn't want to go back to school. But I was thinking, okay, how do we frame this show? How do we do it? And I was thinking, okay, what do people do on Labor Day weekend? They probably barbecue, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually binge some movies if they're in town or so. You know, it's a weekend that you could just do whatever you want, and if you're in town, you're gonna watch TV and just like maybe hang low. And I'm thinking, what a great thing to just look at. And this show is about female empowerment. Chick flick binging. Thank you. And I was just thinking about all the things that, all the movies that have started from the 50s on that were about female bonding, female empowerment, female solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a good thing that we could frame our show with. And I mean, I could think of, there were so many movies that were, I think, simplistically obvious, as like, you know, there were many ones that you and I were discussing before the show that would seem like Thelma and Louise, Fried Green Tomatoes. All these ones, I think, made an obvious impact. But there were others that kind of snuck in and made.
There was a lot.
And
a
made
lot.
A very prominent point.
But as a kid, you really don't look at it that way.
Yeah, no, I know.
You feel very comfortable with that movie for some reason. You don't,
right,
you,
and
you don't
know.
Realize it until you're
That's
an adult.
Exactly right.
And so you relate to it, and
right.
I'm saying, like, I love Fried Green Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of my favorite,
mm-hmm.
you know, top 10. And I always loved the bond they had,
yeah.
Because that's the kind of bond you have with your friends, your female friends.
But see, that's the whole thing.
But you don't realize
there
that until now.
There is something that draws you in as a young adult, as a young girl, that you don't realize what's happening.
Right.
You know, and that's, I think, the beauty of it. I mean, and as an adult, you could look at every movie that you viewed. I remember, and I always use this as an example, when I used to look at The Graduate as a kid, I was always, you know, in my 14-year-old mind, it's like, oh, nobody understood him. He just wanted to find himself, blah,
right,
blah, but you
right.
felt bad. You felt the
you
empathy
felt bad for, him.
For Justin Hoff. Yeah. Now as an adult, you friggin' spoiled brat.
Right.
How dare you? Your parents gave you it.
Right.
As an adult, I see it that
right.
way. And that's the beauty of art. You can look at it one way at one specific phase in your life,
mm-hmm.
and then
look at it
totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that roundtable discussions, when we bring on Nancy Donahue and Patricia Martin, and they're going to come on with their favorite movies, or maybe just movies they want to discuss that were...
Or dissect ours.
Right. And I think that's the beauty of it. Because, you know, the truth is, there weren't that many movies, films, novels about female empowerment that didn't, like, if you look at Little Women, and this is one I always use when I do...
It's funny that you brought that up, because mm-hmm. that was, like, the number one or number two on the list when I actually Googled
mm-hmm.
up women's, you know, empowerment movies.
Now...
And I didn't think that was very woman empowerment.
Now, let me tell you something, and I dig a little deeper than
mm-hmm.
maybe the average person. When I've done public speaking, we speak about that movie in particular... It was groundbreaking in a sense, but what happened in that time, if you had a central character that was a woman and was strong, most of the time you had to either kill her off or find a reason, or she like found her senses and went back to marriage. The population didn't embrace a powerful woman.
Mm-hmm.
She could be powerful until she found a man. She could be powerful until a disease
hit her.
Right, and that's what happened with a central character who happened to be named
right.
Lori in Little Women. She died. And that's what had to happen. You had a strong central character, she's going to go so far, but you know what, now veer off. The public is not going to accept it, so you're going to kill her or make her marry and make her realize, oh, you know what, this was a better life for me.
Right.
But the women that we're going to be talking about are the ones that... Well, I know the one that I'm going to be talking about, that stayed the course. And there were two central women that were not vying for a man, but they were strong in their own right. And they didn't need a man for support, not that we're knocking men,
mm-hmm.
but they were of their own volition. They just empowered themselves. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I think that is going to be a wonderful discussion. But first, Elite, is there anything you want to talk about first? Because I don't want to just...
No, I'm ready to start the show.
You ready to start?
I'm ready.
Bring on our ladies.
I will.
Who do we have first?
I think that is Nancy.
Nancy, girl.
Is that Nancy?
Hey, guys.
Yes.
How are you, mommy?
And
Nancy,
there is
Donahue.
Patty.
Here comes
Hello,
Patricia
Martin. Hi.
How are you, Patty?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Yeah, and happy birthday, Patty. It was your birthday.
Yes, happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you so much. And somebody else on this show also had a birthday.
I know.
Oh, really?
I try not to think about it.
We're still celebrating her birthday. We've had enough of it.
Tired of celebrating.
You know,
oh,
extended
gosh.
Birthdays are the very best.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is probably going to be my favorite show because I think this is a topic that
everybody's
go,
involved with.
Right. We can go in so many different ways, and I know everybody has their own specific theme or film that they want to discuss. But first, let me thank a man who is involved in all this, Jeffrey Saunders, who is just
Yay.
So wonderful.
Yes.
Yep, he deserves it. You know, and you know why, Elise? He was going to be busy the next day. Like last week, he thought the show was last week. We didn't have the round table. And he was so concerned. He was going to be busy the next day. And he said, look, let me post now.
He's a fabulous
wonderful.
Man.
Jeffrey, we love you. We would do a show about you.
Yes,
we
just
would
you.
Yeah. And we
no, he
him.
Is. He's the hardest working man on the planet.
He really
and
is.
And so considerate.
You
and
could
just,
tell.
You know,
yeah.
Elite never met him. He's just so charming.
I'm
just,
sure.
It's just,
he looks charming.
It's illegal to be that charming, but he is. Before
yeah.
we start, I think, Patty, you have something that you'd like to read. It's about female bonding, female friendships, and I think it's going to bring us where we need to be.
And I wrote it just for today. I was inspired because I was inspired by the topic and the word, and I was thinking about how important women are in my life and how important my friends are, and the word that kept coming to me was constancy. so I just went with it, and I had no idea where I was going to start or where it was going to end. So here we go. Constancy. Men come and men go, or not. Charming companions or tormentors, heroes or slackers, rock steady or fickle infants. Time always reveals, shows us what we need to know. Then a woman may face a decision. Stay, put up, wither. Leave, stand up, fly. When a woman jumps, she free falls into the arms of her sisters. The strong feminine bulwark always there, never failing, through silence and sharing. The constancy, the divine right of womanhood, generation upon generation. It is in our blood. It is our birthright. It is our bond. It is our blessing and our blessedness. It is our sex.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. Oh.
Thank you.
Excellent. And you know something? That is why I'm always saying we should not be catty. We should bolster each other as opposed to stripping each other of our and any integrity. This is why...
Yeah.
We have to unify. This is what sister solidarity is about. And
true.
And that's really it.
Yep. And I personally have friends I've known since kindergarten, you know. And then, of course, I have some new friends who are, I cherish as well. And it's just, and I have a sister, I have all you guys. So it's just such a...
A strong bond.
When all life goes cuckoo or beautiful, it's always constant, no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just perfect.
And I think that's the beauty of today's theme is it's about that camaraderie that we have. That is, and again, male bonding is a great thing. But I don't think there's the depth that we have. And I'm not saying that men
can't have that depth. I think
they're taught differently
right.
than us. But this is why I wanted to have everybody come on and bring their feature film that they felt that they got something from that empowers women, that made an imprint on them. And I think that's what we'll start with Nancy.
Okay. All right, so mine's going to be a little bit different. I, as you guys all talked about, Thelma and Louise has to be my hands down number one favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
But current film, which I just saw, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but as you know, I get to go to the screenings. But I just saw The Wife.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you know what that's about, but it's about this woman who meets her college professor, falls in love. He thinks he's a writer, but she's really the writer. And what happens is he makes her go and write his books. And in the end, he gets a Nobel Prize for the books that she wrote. So finally, you have to see it. So finally, at the end of the movie, of course, he dies of a heart attack because she's just reveals to him that she's sick and tired of this. That's really all the books that he got acknowledged for were her books that she wrote for him. And he would just shove her up into a room and make her write and edit and all this stuff. So that when you, Lori, told me about the topic, this movie just came into my head because, it's with Glenn Close and Glenn Close's daughter plays her. Yeah. But, it's just like, talk about empowerment. It's finally at the end she got it. But it's just a brilliant film. It's a brilliant story. And it's true.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's a true story?
Yes, true story, yes.
Wow. It sounds a bit like Camille Claudel.
Right. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rodin's lady. Yeah. Wow.
And
Nancy,
it's a new release? I don't know
yes,
why.
Yes, The Wife. I saw it a few weeks ago, and it's just this, stuck in my mind because the whole story is so crazy. And then when you brought up the subject, I was just, this is something we have to talk about. But if you can do, I would suggest you ladies see it because you'll see what I'm talking about. But, that's my feeling. And, I love the classic Thelma and Louise. And, then there's the movie, what's her name? Now I can't think of it. It was just up on my, Erin Brockovich.
Oh, yeah. Another good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another good one. But you
another
know,
true story.
Those,
yeah, that's exactly
yes.
Yeah. She's still around. She's still with
yeah.
us. Yeah. Well, you know,
yes.
it's funny.
Erin Brockovich is quite a, she is, continues to be quite
yes.
a, you know, a maverick whistleblower.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
using, and she's using
she
her notoriety for the good.
Yeah, yeah, commercials.
It's illegal, yeah. You know what was interesting about when Thelma and Louise came out, I remember I certainly liked the film, and they had an alternate ending where they didn't go off the cliff. I mean, I'm sure I'm not being a spoiler here. I'm sure everybody's seen it. But I remember gay rights groups at that time were protesting because they thought that it was detrimental to two women who the only way, because again, it was very hinted at. They never said that they were friends or beyond friends. Or
oh,
they didn't
right.
say anything.
Yeah.
And they were saying that the only way out, instead of thinking that they could have pursued a life together, was
to
killing
kill
themselves. My thought
oh,
was,
really?
I understand what they're saying, but they were going to be in jail.
Right. That's why
that's
they did
just
it.
The way it. That's just the way it mm-hmm. was. So it had nothing to do with them thinking they couldn't create a life. They were in jail.
Right.
They were going to be, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But the alternate ending was that they didn't go over the cliff. They,
right.
But, I mean, I'll never forget the first time I saw it. And you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen when they hold hands and they go over, and
exactly.
that's it. But there, I remember that was very controversial. But it was definitely a great film as far as they stayed true to each other. They stayed strong in their concept of leaving their either somewhat lackluster marriages or abusive marriages.
Right.
So in that sense, I think that was a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a classic.
Patty, what about you?
Oh, I was quite taken with Thelma and Louise, and I liked how strong they were, but and how vulnerable they were, and how they evolved during the movie. I mean, I love it when they like blew up the truck, you know.
Yeah.
when
yeah.
They,
yeah.
When
yeah.
they like, you know, when they nailed that guy for being, you know, such a pig, you
yeah.
know, and it was just you know, I was sad at the end, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I really did not expect it. But it was beautifully done.
Yeah, I
the,
think so.
The best part of that movie was the young Brad.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
His
that's
first.
What, that's,
yeah.
that's what he got his first.
Yeah.
yeah. The sad thing
he
I think
he sure
was,
made the most of that role. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think the thing that was the saddest about the movie is everything really was. I mean, if you really want to tweak it, it was self-defense.
Yeah.
I mean, she was defending her. It. You know, this could have been wiggled around in the court system. Now, see, but now it would have been handled very differently. But this was 19, oh, my God, 90? What was it?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Very early 90s. Women had a very different voice. Now I guarantee you they would not have served a day of jail time because it really was self-defense.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so beautifully cast,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
The two of them were just amazing.
Perfect.
Together.
You couldn't have been. I mean, they just the chemistry was great. It was. I think it was a great movie on a lot of levels. Certainly, it. I think it left room to be desired. There was a couple of things that they probably could have done.
But it
but
made a mark
the,
on a lot of women.
But that was the time. That
yep.
was the time.
Yep.
You know, and it spoke well of the 90s, the mm-hmm. early 90s, which is. But
yeah, it came out
in
91. It said 91 here.
Yeah.
What was your pick, though, Patty? Was it that movie?
No, I mean, I loved it, but what kept popping into my head, which kind of surprised me, was Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
that was
right.
a good movie.
Now, why did that surprise you?
Because it's, I mean, I really think it had an amazing cast and was
mm-hmm.
a great movie, but
right.
it never occurred to me that to. I mean, it wasn't until the topic came up that I realized how the depth that it had.
Yeah,
for
it had
comedy.
A lot of
and I did
and also another movie that a woman dies.
Yeah, but that's
you know?
The way it goes.
Right.
But
right.
it was her. You know, she had diabetes and wanted
right.
a baby and stuff.
Right.
What's interesting in that researching it, it was written by a man.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Harlan. It was a play in 1987, and it was actually, he wrote it in 10 days as a way, he was encouraged by some other friends of his who were, who wrote, I think they wrote Hair and Stuff. They told him he should process his grief over losing his sister by writing. So it really is an homage to his sister, and it's actually another one that's based on, you know, real people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of factionalized, but it's based on real people. And I, if you think about the term, Steel Magnolias is really like a perfect description of strength and beauty, you know, strength and femininity, you know.
Exactly.
What about you girls?
Well, good.
Well, mine was A League of Their Own, which I love. And I had a lot, you know, because did you watch it? I'm sure you saw it, Nancy, right?
No, refresh my memory, though.
A League of Their Own was Gina Davis. They had the women's baseball team while they were they were in war, and the women were playing baseball to keep the men or whoever occupied.
Yeah.
So it was. I thought it was a great movie and very woman empowerment because it was.
And wasn't that based on a true story too?
It was a true story. Yes, it was a very. It was a true story.
See, isn't it interesting? Most of the ones we're picking are based
are
on
all
something.
True stories. Yeah.
Just
it's amazing.
And it was Gina Davis. Rosie O'Donnell was in it. Madonna was in it. Who else?
Lori Petty was Gina Davis' sister.
And who else? There was
Madonna.
It
was a lot of. But it was the rest, which just were.
Tom Hanks in that?
Tom Hanks, yeah, he played the coach, the drunk coach.
Yeah.
So it was, you know,
and it was directed by Penny Marshall. That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
it was directed by
exactly.
Penny Marshall.
It was great. It was like one of her.
I think I must have seen this movie at least a dozen times. Yes, it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Every part was just made you laugh.
It was historical, and
And I just loved it because the women just. Took up the screen, and just Tom Hanks, and all they did was make fun of him because he was a drunk and he was a nobody.
Yeah, he was nobody.
And they threw him in as a joke, saying, "You run this team," but they ran him at the end.
Yeah, no, you know, again, it was definitely a feel good movie, and that's there's potency in that. But yeah, it definitely spoke well, and you know, the thing is, the beauty of it is. Everybody came to the theater because Madonna was in it, and that was fun. And you know, she picked it well because it was something that had substance.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I remember her saying that.
Yeah.
She said the reason I picked this is because it was all female cast.
And these are stories that aren't told.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And
and I thought it was a fabulous movie. If you ever saw the end of it, at the end, the real team came full
that's
force.
Right.
You
that's
saw the
right.
real team in it. So it was very touching. It was a very touching movie at the end.
Now mine was, and Patty, I think you saw this movie. I went a little bit more on the dark side. I went back to 1961.
Wow.
Nancy, I don't know if you ever saw this, The Children's Hour.
But it was a play originally by Lillian Hellman, written in 1934.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And at one of you read one of her pieces at one of our festivals, Patty. Remember Lillian Hellman? This was probably, and it was controversial at the time. This is Audrey Hepburn, James Garner, Shirley MacLaine, all of whom were, I think they were nominated for Academy Awards. I don't think any of them ever got it. But this was a movie that was very controversial at the time. And you're talking about taking camaraderie and stretching it to where the threads are fraying. Shirley MacLaine and Audrey Hepburn were heads of a private school, and a rumor started that they were lovers. And this is
it was a little girl that they disciplined who got mad at them.
That's exactly right.
Started rumors. Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was 10 years old. My mother made me see the movie, and basically, the undercurrent was. You never knew if they were actually lovers. I mean, they could have been, but they didn't. At 1961, they didn't really explore that any further. But it was basically a theme of how words destroy lives. And this little girl, who never went on to anything else after that, and she was great in this particular piece, ruined everybody's livelihood, life, and marriage. And I remember reading Audrey Hepburn and Shirley MacLaine when they were doing this. They didn't really absorb the content that much, and they didn't really think that it was going to make this much of an impact. But this shows you and I don't want to be a spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it, how they were such close friends, and they were friends up until it got to a point of crisis, and then I'm not going to say the ending, but it's a movie that you watch, and you see the levels of true caring and true friendship and solidarity until you realize your mental state can only take so much.
Yeah.
And one person,
yeah,
they might have been in love with the other person the whole time, and then it takes a different spin. But I think that was the movie that, for me, represented female solidarity, because it was,
yeah,
just like literally until the very end, you're true to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if and Nancy, if you haven't seen it, oh my God, rent it.
Yeah, no, but I definitely like to catch up on it. If you, Lori, text me the name after, because it's already gone out of my head. I'd love to catch up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patty.
No. Well, I was just going to say, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm,
the little girl, when her, I think it was her grandmother who picked,
yes,
her up, not her,
yes,
mother.
Yes.
I think when the grandmother picked her up, I think that at some point she figured out that the girl was lying and really wanted to give her a comeuppance for it, which was another cool, if I'm remembering it correctly, that was another cool element.
The grandmother knew this was a problem child, and I don't know if her parents had died, but the grandmother pretty much owned the town. She was very wealthy. And because of this rumor, everybody pulled their kids out of school because they didn't want them with a lifestyle that they didn't agree with. I think this was set in maybe, I don't know where it was. It wasn't even, maybe in the Midwest. It wasn't here. And that, you know, everybody's lives are falling apart. I mean, financially, emotionally, mentally. And James Garner, who was great in this, as Audrey Hepburn's,
yep,
boyfriend,
yep,
and he was just standing by them, but not knowing, okay, was it true, was it wasn't true, but he was standing by his girlfriend, and he also liked Shirley MacLaine. They were all friends. But you could see how the fraying started. It's just like, well, do I believe this rumor? Is it true? Because they were supposed to be getting married.
Right.
But it was brilliantly done, and there are scenes that I remember seeing when I was 10. I remember seeing it like my mother had it. It was a Friday night. It must have been like midnight. And my mother was wonderful this way. She would explain exactly what was happening. And the one scene, I'm not going to give it away, Nancy, because I want you to watch
it. Okay.
She explained to me what was happening and why, and it was absolutely brilliant. Patty, you know what I'm talking about. Brilliantly,
yep,
done. And it makes you sit, and remember, at 10 years old, sitting at the edge of my seat like, oh, my God, because you realize,
right,
how everybody's life is going to change totally at this point. But again, bringing up these two women, Audrey Hepburn and Shirley MacLaine, were just in it together, battling the town that was, you know, again, they were lesbians, they were being run out of town, nobody wanted to know them, they couldn't go to the store without being heckled, but they were still
But
living.
Were they, or was it just a rumor,
okay,
that people
now,
put together? That's the thing, you know.
Here's the thing. If you look, and I've seen this movie maybe 100 times, the brilliance of it, and I forgot who was the director, every time you look at it, you get something different. Shirley MacLaine, you could see her character was always in love with Audrey Hepburn. Never said it because you didn't in those days.
Right.
And she kept,
right,
it quiet. She was always jealous of James Garner. But you couldn't, you know, now with different eyes, you look at it differently. But never spoke about it. And then at the end is where she says she thinks she was, you know, she was part of this because maybe she was in love with her. Maybe that's what the kids got.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out, no, the kid didn't hear anything. She just was, you know, acting out and yelling, you know, telling her grandmother because she wanted these women ruined. It was just a rumor.
Yeah.
But it goes through many, many levels before it hits the bottom.
Hmm. Gotta watch
Lori,
it.
Was that the first time you were exposed to that?
Yeah. And, you know, again, I love aquariums because my mother was an aquarium. My mother was February
18th. Your mom sounds, yeah, awesome.
2 days,
right,
before you, Nancy. 2 days after you, Nancy.
And oh, my God.
She was, oh, and my mother's name was Nancy, oddly.
Yeah.
And
oh, my God.
She was always so willing to teach us, okay, this is what's happening. I was 10. Okay, and this is, they might have been in love with each other, but they might, but that's not the point of this. The point is, this is how you have to be responsible for what you're saying, because you could damage people with a word. Now, my mother was never like, whoever you love, you love.
Right.
Even at in those days, my mother was like, whoever you love, that's fine. Whoever you are, you are. But words are damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the first time I saw that. And there was that one scene in Nancy, when you see, you'll know the scene I'm talking about.
Okay.
When it happens, and I'll never forget, I looked at my mother. My mother was had her arm around my shoulder, and she was just telling me, look at the screen, look at the screen. Heavy
You're
stuff.
Kidding.
Heavy stuff.
That is so wild.
Yeah.
That is just...
yeah, she told me about that part.
Unusual, too.
Oh, my God. And it, you know,
in the stage
so
version, it's interesting. Patricia Neal and Kim, I'm looking at Patricia Neal and Kim Hunter were in a stage version in 1952.
Absolutely.
I bet that was amazing.
Yeah. Shirley MacLaine, for some reason they didn't. They were not on the stage version, but they were. You know, Audrey Hepburn, I've always been a fan of.
Yes,
they played this part, both of them, MacLaine and she, brilliantly. Absolutely, and James Garner, who you never think has any acting chops.
Yep.
Was absolutely wonderful in this.
Oh, yeah. They all showed their stuff in this one for sure.
When was the first time you saw it, Patty?
Oh, boy. Had to be. I was an adult,
mm-hmm.
And I caught it on Turner Classics one night. And it just, I found it absolutely riveting.
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's black and white, which is always my favorite. And the mm-hmm. angles and the shadowing and just. The dialogue for 1961 was, I think, really pushing the envelope. But I wouldn't want them to remake this. But if they did remake it now, it would have a totally different tone, and it would be very more explicit than it was then.
They should remake it.
Yeah, but you know, I thought it was very part of the. Tension in it really was the fact that there was a gray area.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's up for interpretation. You don't want to be told what it is.
It's exactly
right. You know, you want to watch it unfold, and sometimes you think this, sometimes you think that. You want to smack the kid. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny.
Wow.
Because
it's open to interpretation. It's not definitive.
My niece, my older niece, was in, she did regional theater, and she was in that. She was the lead. And I remember talking to her. I said, what did you get from this? And she goes, oh, well, you know, Aunt Laurie, it's about two chicks being together. I said, no, that's not really what it's about. Yes, it's about that, but it's about how damaging words can be and how, you know, just because you have, maybe you have a little bit of a beef with somebody, how something that you start could have a snowball effect and damage lives and more than you see.
Oh, here's another thing. Guess what? It says here in the notes, Hellman's play was inspired by the 1809 true story Scottish school teachers whose lives were destroyed when one of their students accused them
of engaging
in a lesbian relationship.
Yeah.
But in the Scottish case, they eventually won their suit.
Yeah.
Although that did not change the devastation on their lives. So here's another one that's based on a true story.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Well, I know the original film was We Three, and it didn't it didn't go half as far as the Children's Hour did. They softened it up a little bit, but I mean that to me that was again I love fried green tomatoes. I love making American quilt. I love that one as well. Because that was generational. That was women like grandmothers empowering the mothers and empowering the daughters. I thought that was great. But I thought that this was probably the best that you could do as far as pushing your female friendships to the very edge of what they could be and what they could sustain.
No. I can't believe the original one was in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
In Scotland, yep.
Well, see, this stuff happened, but it just wasn't put to paper.
It's funny because it's under lesbian movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, I remember seeing this, like, you know, you making a joke of it. With James Garner, there's one point of the movie where he approaches Audrey Hepburn and says, and he's like distraught, "Is this true? Is this true?" And I always say, come on, if it was a guy, I'd be like, can I watch?
No, she, she insisted on him asking her because she knew he wanted to and he wasn't. So she made him ask her.
But the whole thing
and then she's like, we're done because,
And that was also
the
filmmakers wanted her to, they wanted to get that out in the open because they really didn't want it to have anything but clarity, the fact that she said, no, we weren't, and we never were. Again, 1961, it was very different. They didn't want to leave anything open to suggestion. Now it would have been, you would have had the whole thing.
Right. You would have seen them kissing in bed.
You would have had the wine, the champagne, the cheese. You would have had that beforehand. But that's the whole thing. It was 1961, and it was very different then.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, you guys all know I watch Ellen, I think, religiously every single day. I love her to bits. So they did a story, her, it was her 60th birthday. Obviously, these are repeats on the summer, but I didn't see this episode. But they did bring up, Michelle Obama did a tribute to her and in the storyline behind how she came out and what a big deal it was.
I remember that.
I honestly had tears in my eyes. Yeah. What she went through, and then ABC fired her when she came out. And
I remember that.
You know, it's just, it was just, but I had tears. I was like, unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
You know what, she's one type of person, like, you know, like we always say, you have to go through the really tough times to come out smelling like a rose. Because now she's a mogul, a millionaire mogul. She owns, she produces. She is so high up there now.
And she's involved in
everything. Right.
Exactly.
So
she's a real positive force.
Her wife, Portia, is lovely. I mean, you know, I swear to God, if I could take the gay pill, I would. I think I would have talked about this before, but I'm honest because, you know, you look at their friendship and their love. It's so intense and so beautiful and so present. It's just, it's lovely, you know.
Yeah.
And I
she
find
actually
that,
got her out of
anorexia.
Yeah, she got her out of anorexia, and she was gay, but she was afraid to come out because she was a Hollywood star. So it was then, at the time, she was, you know, what was the name of that show she was in? She was in Well, she started with Ally. Well, what's it called? Something Ally McBeal. She started there. And then she went into that other show with Jeffrey Tambor.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I can't think of it now.
Oh, that's such a bad memory. But she was gay, and she was fighting for, you know, to stay in the closet. And when she met Ellen, she actually got her out of anorexia, and she got her out, you know, out of the closet. And she's just a totally different person now. She's herself.
And think about this. That was, Ellen came out how many years ago? 20 years ago?
It had to be 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was still something that you said to yourself, if I step off this cliff, my career, my livelihood, my income is going to be ruined. I have to say, as bad as things could be now, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
If you come out and you say you're gay, it's fine. Okay.
Yeah, people get over it in one day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But then
there
had consequences.
Well, then, you know, when it comes to, like, these executives and these stations, they don't want to represent, you know, gay people or, you know, people that do anything bad.
Yeah, but
you know?
They got a big slap in the face, didn't they? Because look how well she's doing. And the funny thing is...
Exactly.
The funny thing is, I'm almost positive, because I remember ABC fired her, correct?
Yes, they did.
But isn't the Ellen Network on ABC?
I don't know if it's ABC or CBS. I'm not sure.
NBC.
Is it NBC?
NBC.
Okay.
It's on NBC. Okay.
Yeah, half of the shows that you see on NBC, which is Steve Harvey, all those game shows, it's all produced by her, and she owns them.
Yeah.
And she's big into animal rights and, you know, all those things.
Well, you know, if you ever read the book Celluloid Closet, and you realize how 80% of Hollywood, I mean, people just think Rock Hudson and you know, who else? James Dean. I mean, everybody, but there was Agnes Moorehead. I mean, people knew Paul, and there were so many people that had to marry. You married your beard.
Your publicist said you have to get married.
And that's it. You look at Cole Porter, who was married for 60 years, and they had some sort of relationship, and they had a child together, but he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife.
Yeah.
But this was what people had to go through then.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, God bless. We don't, I mean, look, there's still gay bashings and so on and so forth, but it's not nearly as bad.
There'll always be. There's always going to be angry people in the world.
Yahoo.
There's always angry people in the world.
I hate to say it. I'm going to make a broad statement here. It's usually the boys. The women don't have a problem with it.
No,
usually
they don't.
The boys are going out and they're getting upset and blah, 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 and they have their, you know.
Yeah.
They teach them what being a man is like, you know, and that's...
Well, what I was discussing this yesterday with Steve, my husband, and it's amazing how bad humanity is to humanity.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all we have is each other.
Is each other.
Okay?
Exactly.
And I'm talking
about,
you know, these gay bashings or people spamming us or people calling us, people looking to get into our bank accounts. Why? Why do we do this to each other? I don't understand that.
Well, it's a crazy mixed up world. And one of the things that Michelle Obama said on the show the other day, she said, you know, the most important thing for her family now, you know, them being out of the presidency and all, she just says, everybody, like Ellen's message, just be kind to one another. You know,
that's
be
it.
Nice. Show
that's
a nice
all,
gesture.
I say
do
that
something
all the time.
Nice.
Just be nice.
Yeah.
That's all it could be is kind, and it's free. It's free.
There's a pizza place in Woodstock, and the staff wears T-shirts and sells T-shirts that say, be nice or leave.
That's great.
No, but it's perfect. But, you know, there's not a lot of, there's a lot of mentally unstable people in this world, and I think that that's part of the problem. I mean, it's got to be.
Well, and that's the thing. We have a lot of people that have some issues that, you know, it's not just they need cognitive therapy, they need some sort of chemical leveling. And they're walking around and,
they're blaming the world for
right,
it.
Right, and the thing is, again, we don't want to go into a show of socialized medicine and so on and so forth, but we need people to be able to go into the therapist or a medical facility of their choice and not have to worry about being paid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yep. And also, unfortunately, there's a lot of, you know, brilliant people who are, you know, for lack of a better word, quite dastardly.
Oh,
they're the ones that come up with the ways that they can, you know, steal your, you know, walk by you and swipe your data and sell it. I mean, it's a business to them, and they're just as bad as the, you know, they're like the goons, like corporate America.
Terrible.
You know,
the worst of corporate America.
Yeah, no, it happened to me, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. I got trapped in, and I'm not going to name I'm not going to name.
Like me.
What happened?
No, this is terrible. I'm not going to name.
The company, the place,
no,
the person.
No, the company.
You can name them. It's okay.
God, this is embarrassing.
No, it doesn't matter.
But they stole, and everybody knows who I'm talking about, but we had to get my computer fixed, and I Googled, you know, iPad. Da da da, and it came up the first one on the lines, and it's, you know, it's overseas. I'll put it that way. It's overseas. I got the overseas people, and I was so frantic. They said plug in your computer to your iPad, and stupid me did it. I'm like, this isn't the Apple people. I know it isn't.
Oh,
and then shortly thereafter, I said no, and I unplugged everything. Within 5 minutes, they got into like three cards.
Yep.
Oh. No.
Within 5 minutes.
But I have to tell you, Nancy, Apple does not have people in the United States. It is all overseas. That is the truth, because I've talked to AppleCare a couple of times, and they're all either in India or Bangladesh or something like that.
Mm.
So you really don't know who you're dealing with.
Well, that's the point, Elite. It was, like, so freaky. But no, but then I called back, and I went under the Apple icon.
Right.
And
the AppleCare.
That's
you have to,
the AppleCare. When you're in a state and you just Google and you press the first thing and you call, and then before you know it, you're being bamboozled. And I was just like, oh,
And, but it's at a state now where you can swipe your card at a gas station or a store, and they have little readers that can take the data off it. They can walk past you. That's why they have those
things that you could put over your credit card.
Yeah, and you have, I mean, imagine you're walking down the street and somebody could walk by and just swipe your
data.
Yeah,
those machines, that get your information.
How
right
do they, I've never, I know I've heard about it. I haven't heard somebody that that's happened to. That's just crazy.
There's a restaurant. There's a place up here where there was a restaurant where it happened to two different people who left the restaurant. There was somebody lurking around, and it happened to somebody else who was at a mall.
Wow.
Didn't even take their card out of their wallet.
My sister got her identity stolen.
Really?
So a couple of times too. Well, it was all from the bank.
That's why LifeLock is doing such a great business.
Well, there's
because,
a couple of stuff like that. Yeah.
But you know,
my sister had her Social Security number stolen, and somebody filed a bogus tax return. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, and my favorite movie of all time, I think, is Fargo. No, and I'm getting you're laughing,
that's
Lee, but I'm coming home with this. When at the end, the very last scene, she goes, "Life is more than about a little bit of money. Don't you know that?" And we don't know that. We clearly don't know that if we have to rip each other off, if we have to steal people's identity, we don't realize that life is more than just a little bit of money.
We know that.
You know what? John would say it's a capitalist society.
It is.
And this is what we're taught. And it's like, you know what? However much money you have, you could leave it to your kids, leave it to your family. But you can't line your coffin with it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to live your life? Live your friggin' life.
Well, forget about living your life. Don't cheat anybody else's life about
That's
the thing.
Never.
No. That's what pisses me off, when people are just so mean to other humans. It's just, it's terrible.
Terrible. We've created an environment where we have to rip each other off to sustain an income.
No.
There are people that do this
for a living. I can never, ever, ever, ever do that.
But this is what I'm saying. They're out there. And why?
No conscience.
Because,
but they're ill. They're sick.
It's
a disease as well. It's sick. It's like gambling.
I'm going to sit back and say, we're taught that if we don't have two TVs, if we don't have a flat screen, if we have two cars, we're not living the way we should. We should be living with the bare basics, just what we need, food for our family, enough to bank, and medical. That's all we need to have. That's all we need.
Well, I think in this circle we know that, okay?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Well, I hate to say it, but I have got to mosey.
I know. I was going to say, I'm looking at the time.
Yeah.
It's been a
pleasure as always, and
loved
thank you so
poem.
Much.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Patricia
and,
Martin, give her a gift because, she's got to make a buck. She's got to go back to work.
Until the next time. Love you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye, Patty.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Patty. Now, Nancy, before you go.
Yes.
It's been summer. Let me tell you something. My legs are killing me. My legs are killing me for things.
Oh, God,
volleyball.
No. Here we go. I know. So am mine, and I love you all so much. We're still in testing, believe it or not. This has been the most complicated project I have ever endeavored on. They're in the body buffers are at the Boston Engineers. We've finally figured out the last problem, and then they go back to China, and then we get the shipment.
Wow.
So to answer your question, girls, the body buffers are now late September.
Okay.
And the Belcor body buffer, it helps to soothe sore muscles, muscle recovery, lymphatic drainage, cellulite control. And if you go to Belcor.com, we can add you to the list because we have a growing list. And thank you so much for always including
it should be
that.
Always growing.
Well, you better – now Natalie has to still do my calves. So don't say that. She's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I never do your calves.
I know. I'm just saying.
She does my calves, Nancy.
Purpose of commercial.
No, but it's always so much fun to talk to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Thank you.
What are you doing for Labor Day? Anything special?
No, I think I'm going to be probably going out to see my friend Patrice Casanova. He's doing a little celebration. His daughter got married, and so I'll go out to Belport just for the night. Yeah. What are you all doing?
Alit had invited.
She's coming
over
for a barbecue.
For a barbecue, so we're going to go there. We're going to raid their house.
Yeah.
We're going to be the weekend.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah,
well, there's nothing
fun
like a barbecue on this holiday weekend.
It's the first one we're having, so.
Oh, God. I hope you do it okay. Oh, man.
For the year.
And how was Georgie's birthday? What happened? You had a nice time?
Oh, no, we had an amazing time, and it was his 30th birthday, and it was very emotional. You know, sons don't always talk, you know. And I expected to have, we had a beautiful dinner, and then, so I expected it would be the 50 questions I'd have to ask to get, you know, answers out. But his friends had brought him to drinks before, and he came in talking. He was very emotional. He's doing, just got, he was the number one salesperson for last quarter, and he will for this quarter.
Is
and he
that nice?
Got a, he got a great review from his big bosses, most diligent, hardworking, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, the kid was walking on cloud nine, as I was, you know, and then we're both in tears.
Yeah, of course. Proud
mom. You know, and it was just a really wonderful time, and he had always wanted this ring that I got from my grandfather, and I gave him that for his birthday. And he
aww,
said,
how sweet.
Yeah, and he said, Mom, this is the best gift you could have ever given me. So
aww,
it was really a wonderful time, and thank you so much for asking. It was probably my best dinner date with George. It was lovely.
Wow. 30 is
nice.
A big thing, right? I mean, 21 is big, but 30 is... You're an adult, right?
But he's an adult. He's an accomplished.
And I met him. He's just
and he's
nice.
Look at his mother.
And you know, you did such a good job, Nancy. What a
I was talking about that to a friend. I was very tough. I was very strict.
It's okay.
I was a single mom, so he was also raised by my siblings, and they raised him with an iron fist. My sister said, you know, not literally, but you know, it's just, you know, you don't. You do your work, and you go to work, and you do your work. And, you know, the kids started working at age 12, like we all did.
We
you
did.
Know, I
we
mean,
did.
You know?
Yeah, no, he's a gentleman. And he absolutely is.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Yeah. But anyway, girls, I'm going to go because I'm going back to the beach. I'm sitting here out in my
listen to her. We're in the studio. She's going to, Nancy,
the beach.
Man.
I know, it's a beautiful view. I'll just tell you that.
No, thanks a lot, doll. We're in the studio with a little window. Thanks, doll. Anyway, Nancy,
thank you so much for having us.
Happy Labor Day, doll, and we love you.
I love you both. And
enjoy
thank you
the
so
day,
much, and
Labor
have a
day.
Great rest
bye-bye.
Of the day.
Be safe.
Bye,
enjoy.
Take care.
Nancy Donahue. Oh, beautiful. That was a great show. Lee.
Yes, it was.
That was a great show. You never got to meet Georgie.
I never got to meet Nancy.
Yeah, that's true. Lovely, both of them.
I feel like I know her already.
Yeah, but he just, you know, again, if I had a son, I think I would have a son like that.
Yeah.
You know, very, very, you know, I know I'd be strict.
I know
I'd be strict. You know, you think, you say.
What you say, the way you treat your cats,
but
I don't
wait a
know
second,
about that.
My cats are not going to go out into society.
No, but they're jumping
somebody
on closets.
So wait a second, they're not going to ruin somebody
and
else's
then you
life.
Say, yay!
Wait a second. Now, my cats are going to be with me until they go.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to know anybody else but me and John.
Okay.
My kids will have to go out and ruin somebody else's life if I don't raise them the right way. Believe me, I would know that. I know that.
Okay.
But he's a gentleman.
I'm sure.
And born on your birthday, yeah?
I know, yes.
Yeah, and I think Winter's son.
Yes, isn't
your
that
birthday?
Funny?
Who else? It was somebody else, that's another Leo, last day of Leo.
Valerie Harper.
God bless her.
I know.
Still with
us. Look at how John McCain passed. It's the same thing my mother passed of, glioblastoma. She was diagnosed with it.
She was diagnosed how many years ago? 5 years
ago. She's still alive.
5 years ago. Right?
And John McCain passed as fast as my mother did.
You know, it's funny because I have to say, I've met Valerie Harper. Her positive attitude.
Maybe that's what's keeping her.
Surpasses mine.
I mean, we've seen her on talk shows. She's always laughing, smiling. And she says a positive attitude gets me through life.
I will say.
And no medication.
I will say. You know, and again, a lot of other things come into play. But I think that, you know, John McCain is older, too, than she is. But he also went through stuff that she never had to go through.
Right, right.
You know, she was never tortured.
He's a war veteran and stuff.
Maybe she was tortured as far as bad scripts. But other than that, she was not a tortured human being. Right. Always had a, you know, a good outlook. And may she be with us for another 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that.
But my birthday is a big day. A lot of people celebrate it.
We celebrated, right? Right,
yeah,
honey?
We had a great,
right,
we had
honey?
A great
we had,
birthday,
we still celebrate your birthday.
Yes.
Last day of Leo. But I still think I see more Virgo.
I think it's like almost like the best birthday I've had.
Did you?
Yeah.
You think so, sweetheart?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
It's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, you always have good birthdays, so we try.
No, I do. But some are better than others. You know,
What?
I have to put this on the top five.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I always say we all get one bad birthday. I mean, there's.
I've had a lot.
I've had a lot. I've never had a bad birthday.
Really? I've had a lot.
Ever.
Not that it was planned to be a bad birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It just fell on the bad day.
Yeah.
You know, it fell on the day.
Yeah.
So. But that
you
was the past.
What?
I don't stay on that.
You always have another one.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. So hopefully.
Just look at it that way.
Hopefully till 120.
Yeah. Yeah. Another 120. That's exactly it. So, in saying that, do you want to add anything else, Elite?
What should we add?
Is there anything else that we didn't add to?
Well, if they have nothing to do tomorrow night, they can come down to Barrio's in Staten Island. They're having a whole vegan night.
Oh yeah, they're gonna go. Nancy's gonna come down to.
Well, I'm just
Patty's
saying,
gonna come from Connecticut.
Listening.
Oh yes, that's what you. You know something, Elite?
That's what I'm trying to get at.
I thought you meant the girl.
No.
Oh.
I'm saying to anyone who's listening.
Let me tell you something. To Vig or not to Vig?
That is the question.
That is the question. And thankfully, Barrio's on Staten Island has the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know something? Some people turn to the vegan way of lifestyle, the way I did, for just basically your love of animals.
Right.
Because I remember when I lived upstate and I petted a cow, and you see a cow responding to you,
eyes.
And they love you, and they recognize you, and you realize, I can't eat that. And there's a saying, most people would be vegetarians if they had to kill what they ate.
Right.
But even that aside, a lot of people are doing it for a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to Barrio's tomorrow, and you're going to be shooting tomorrow
yes,
night.
Yes, I'm going to be shooting the event.
You're going to be shooting the visual.
Not the animals.
No. No, you're not shooting animals. You're going to be shooting the people
yes,
that are
eating
enjoying
non-animal
the vegan
products.
Lifestyle. And I'll be there, too, mm-hmm. promoting New Masters.
So if you want to come
yeah.
see us in person.
6:30 to 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And they have buffalo cauliflower wings. They
yeah.
have so many different things. And you know what? Staten Island is not that hard to get to.
No.
You take a ferry, and then you could probably take a bus or a car service if you want to be a big shot. But you could get to Barrio's on Nome Avenue, and that's where we'll be tomorrow night. And maybe we'll have a couple of pictures up on Facebook. What do you think?
Oh, sure.
What do you think, Palomar?
Definitely.
You think so?
Definitely.
We'll do that. So that
definitely,
should be a nice thing.
Yes.
And end of summer, people. Try to make it a happy one. Labor Day is here. After this, we have the beautiful foliage of fall. But you know what? Let's do something nice. Let's enjoy summer in all its glory. And that's really, I think, summer. Everybody has these wonderful summer memories. So make one this weekend if you haven't made them already. We will be back next week, same time. And same channel. And go out. Make it a wonderful day. I want to thank Nancy Donahue, Patricia Martin, for making the round table ever so round and ever so broad and ever so interesting.
And I want to thank Lori Towers for always making my birthday so special.
Oh, thank you, darling. I love you. Always, always and forever. And Elite Ziegelman for riding shotgun with me.
Always.
And thank you to the home audience who tunes in every week, either live or in archives. Yeah. And listen to us and make our ratings spike every week. We thank you for that. Go out, make it a wonderful Labor Day, and we will be back next week, same time. Take us home, Nina.
Oh, you got it.